Well, let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for this opportunity. You knew exactly what the outcomes would be, who would be here, who wouldn't be here. You know all about it, Lord. We believe everybody's here by divine appointment. And we are standing on faith that you have a word for us today, beginning right here in the pulpit and then reaching out beyond. And Lord, we're asking that you'll have your way in our hearts. Where our minds need to be changed, change our minds today. Where we need to be challenged, challenge us today. We open ourselves up to you that you may do business with us on this very, very important topic. And Lord, we just ask that you would carry this, your son, your disciple, and your servant along in your word, that you may be well pleased with what you accomplish through me as your instrument in proclaiming your word. We ask all of this in Jesus, your name, and to your glory forever. Amen. Amen. And amen. Give the Lord another praise. Amen. If the dictionary definition that Pastor so well portrayed for us is to persist, that is to continue in an idea, purpose, or task despite obstacles, then we see that this goes on pretty regularly around us. People persist in all kinds of ideas, purposes, and tasks that they value. So, for God and His Word to insist that as a matter of spiritual character, His people persist, or if you will, persevere in His causes, should not shock or amaze us. Amen? Amen, somebody?
Amen.
Amen. So, not to do His will, however, can and will have serious consequences. For just a little while this afternoon, we want to speak to you on the topic, the call to Christians to persevere. The call to Christians to persevere. We're going to come to you from Revelation chapter 14, verse 9 through 13. Revelation chapter 14, verse 9 through 13. And when you have it, please stand on your feet out of reverence for God's word. Our mission, our objective is to challenge Christian men and all the Christians present to embrace God's required perseverance in obedience and faith, amen, as aspiring strong men of God in Christ's image. How many know Christ persevered to the end? Amen. It's not unmanly to wrestle and struggle with doing the right thing. It's unmanly to turn away and quit. Come on, somebody. Why you say that, preacher? Because he went to the garden and three times he said, Father, is there another way? And the Father three times said, no. Nevertheless, he replied then, not my will, but your will be done. And then that settled it, and he went on about his business. Amen? So it's not a sin to struggle with doing the right thing. It's a sin to walk away from it. Come on, somebody. Amen. Revelation chapter 14, verse 9 through 13 says, then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever. And they have no rest, day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. Amen. The call to Christians to persevere. You may be seated. Our first point, the warning and consequences of not persevering in obedience. The warning and consequences of not persevering in obedience. By way of background, leading up to examining verses 9 through 11 in just a moment, we want to back up just a little bit and see how we got to this moment of intense prophetic time in the Word here, and that is really for the very near future. Amen. 2,000 years ago or so, John received this revelation, but folks, we're 2,000 years nearly down the road. Amen. And so the things that he has spoken of in the book of Revelation, which is a book of prophecy, amen, are things that are yet to be fulfilled. And just because they have not been fulfilled does not mean that they will not be fulfilled. Amen. And so we have to take God at his word, no matter how long it takes to fulfill. So how do we get to this moment where this angel is giving this warning? And so we'll quickly go back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. This is where it all begins. Genesis 3, chapter 15. In the Garden of Eden, after Adam and Eve fell, and God is handing out judgments, he begins with the serpent. And at verse 15, he says something startling and amazing to the serpent. And we all know who's behind the serpent is Satan. Amen. And he says in verse 15, I will put enmity, which is hatred, between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. In my Bible, her seed is capitalized. Come on, somebody. Which is signifying deity. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Amen. This is the point of origin in a war that's been sanctioned by God between men backed by him and Satan. Beloved, it was sung as a song not too long ago. There's a war going on. Come on, somebody. And this is where it started, right here in the garden. And God is the one that started it. Come on, somebody. He started it on our behalf in order to save us from the eternal hell that was designed for Satan and his angels. But, you know, misery loves company. Come on, somebody. So he was up in the garden to begin with to try to get us to fall and follow behind him for his destiny of eternal damnation. And guess what? He was successful, but not without a fight from God. Come on, somebody. And so God declared war in the Garden of Eden. Amen. And so the seed of the woman, amen, our champion and our hero is Jesus Christ, who God brought into the world in his perfect timing. Look at the book of Matthew in chapter 1. Don't you just love the Bible? How it interprets itself? Amen. Matthew chapter 1 and beginning at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make a public example of her or make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. Come on, somebody. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Amen. The war continues. Amen. And we want to give God his props. Amen. That he is managing this thing. Between Genesis and Matthew, there's a whole bunch of history that's taking place. Amen. Whole bunch of stuff that went on. Amen. But God is at work managing it. How many know he's managing things right now? Amen. The story has not ended. I love the bulletin this morning where it talked about the story goes on. We're still in the midst of the story. Amen. It hasn't come to an end yet. Unless you look at it from God's point of view, it is finished from his point of view. Come on, somebody. But we're still watching it work out in time and in history. Is that all right? And so we want to shout out props to the women. Amen. Because our sisters bear the seed, amen, that God was able to use, amen, at the appointed time through the appointed woman to bring Christ into the world. Because, fellas, we got a problem. Our forefather Adam, amen, being the first sinner, designated us as his sons to be the ones that pass sin on to our seed. Come on, somebody. And so the seed of the woman had to come into being because that seed was not tainted with sin. Come on, somebody. Because sin comes through the man. And all the more reason for us as men to step up and realize our responsibility as leaders and teachers in the home, because if our children come into the world as sinners, then it's our responsibility to lead them to Christ. Come on, somebody, so that they can be set free. Am I right about that? Amen. And so at this point, Jesus has come into the world. He grew up and began to preach the gospel of the kingdom, crying out to men to repent, for the kingdom is at hand. And he also bid men to follow him in order to make them fishers for men with him, because he came into the world fishing for men. Can I get a witness, somebody? And after his resurrection, he formally commissioned these men. You'll find that in Matthew 28. I'm giving you a little background here because you need to understand what's going on in Revelation. Come on, somebody. Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20. After his resurrection from the dead, amen, he calls his disciples to meet him at the appointed mountain, the 11, because Judas had forfeited the game. Come on, somebody. And verse 18 says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority, somebody say all. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. The church has a teaching ministry from Jesus Christ. And it's very important, though, that we understand that we just don't teach anything. Come on, somebody. But we are to teach all things that he has commanded us to observe. Amen. So it's not about our stuff. It's about his stuff. Amen. And that's what we'll be judged on in terms of our obedience. It's not how well you obey the rules and regulations of men. It's how well you obey the word of God. Amen. Because that's what we were told to teach. Amen. And so Acts 1 and 8 picks this up. And he says to them that you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Amen. And so the preaching of the gospel has been going on from the first century even until this very day. And one of the reasons I know it's being preached today, because in a few minutes I'm about to preach it. Come on, somebody. Amen. I pray God is being preached in other places, but I'm going to make sure we hear the gospel today. Amen. But he had already warned them in this business of preaching the gospel that there would be opposition. Come on, somebody. That their mission would draw satanic opposition. And so it did. And that brings us to Ephesians chapter 6. Amen. We're almost through with our background. Amen. I know you're thinking, well, if that's the background, good golly molly, what's coming with the main course? Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, and beginning at verse 10, which verse 10, by the way, is where we get our motto for Strong Man Ministries, making men eternally strong. Amen. It says there, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Come on, somebody. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles and alternate word is schemes of the devil. Come on, somebody. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. So why are we up in here fighting each other in the church? Come on, somebody. We got an enemy that's out there that's gunning for us. Amen. We need each other. Amen. We shouldn't be biting and devouring one another. Amen. We need to be standing together against our common enemy. Amen. Because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. I tell you, there's a war going on. Come on, somebody. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, what, church? Stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Yes. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with what, church? All perseverance. Yes. And supplication for all the saints. Mm-hmm. Here, perseverance in context is being used to call us to a prayer that's unending. Ha! A prayer that's persistent. Ha! A prayer that doesn't quit. Ha! A prayer that doesn't give up. Ha! Because the enemy that fights against us, that wars against us every day, he never gives up. Come on, somebody. He never quits. Ha! He may go away for a little season, ha! But he'll be back. And so we need to be in persistent prayer. We need to persevere in prayer, not only for our own souls, but for all the saints. We've got a brother in Iran right now that's in prison, Pastor Abagini, that's in prison, that's been there almost 3 years now. They beat him, and they torment him, and they torture him. But we're praying for him to be set free soon and very soon. But that kind of torment, that kind of torture is not going to be simply isolated to this man. I need to tell you today, the days are coming where it's going to be something that Christians face all over the world. Yes, right here in America. Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood. See, that's the reason we don't want to believe that, because in America, we're all so nice. Come on, somebody. Yeah, we're all so nice, we don't want to believe that's possible. But listen, I've been black all my life. My forefathers came out of slavery. Come on, somebody. And I heard something about somebody named Jim Crow. Come on, somebody. And so we know about lynchings and things that happen, that are people running around in little white sheets and torturing and torment. Come on, somebody. So it's possible right here in America to be persecuted for the faith of Jesus Christ. If you can be persecuted just for being black, you can be persecuted for standing for Jesus. Come on, somebody. Black folk, we need to stop acting like we don't know nothing about hardship and hard times. Come on, somebody. We know something about that. Verse 19 says, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Did y'all hear that? Yes. Paul is writing this letter from prison. Come on, somebody. That in it I may speak boldly as I ought to. So if Paul got put in prison for preaching the gospel, well, where do you get off thinking you're so special? Come on, somebody. And why was he in prison? Because I tell you, there's a war going on. And if you're going to be authentic, if you're going to be real about Jesus, if you're really going to be obedient, if you're really going to persevere in your faith in Christ, you will be persecuted. And so that brings us up to where we are in Revelation chapter 14. Amen. 9 through 11 says in Revelation 14, then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength in the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. Beloved, in these verses that follow the unveiling of what is the Antichrist. Come on, somebody. That's who the beast is. In chapter 13, and his demand for total loyalty. Amen. All mankind is warned by God. Verse 9 says, if anyone, somebody say, if anyone. If anyone, amen. If anyone what? Worships the beast and his image. Did y'all see that? And it goes on to say in verse 11, whoever, amen. At the end of verse 11, it says, whoever receives the mark of his name, amen. And what is the consequence? If you worship the Antichrist or if you take his mark, it's that you will suffer God's wrath right here on earth. Amen. Because at this time period, this is when the Antichrist comes on the scene. This is the Great Tribulation. That's the signal to all who know anything about the Bible. There's 3.5 years left. Come on, somebody. At the end of that 3.5 years, God's bringing the wrath. Come on, somebody. And in case you don't believe that God brings the wrath, I want to challenge you to go back and read Genesis. You know, you can always go to the beginning if you get confused at the end. Come on, somebody. Go back to Genesis and see what happened in chapter 6. There was a flood. A crazy man named Noah was preaching for over 120 years. Talking about there's a flood coming. Come on, somebody. It's going to rain. Ha! And nobody believed him. Come on, somebody. Pastor and all of us preachers stand up here telling you today there's a war going on, but God wins in the end. Give him praise and glory in his house today. And he's going to win by sending his wrath at the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But until then, we've been charged with the responsibility to what? Stand. And having done what? Stand. Persevering in the truth, in the knowledge that Jesus Christ is the one and only Savior of the world. Give him praise and glory in his house today. But if for some reason you find it inconvenient, amen, to stand on the truth, you need to understand there's a consequence waiting for you. Amen. I don't care how long you've been in the church. I don't care what seat you sit in the church. Why do you say that, preacher? Because the book says, if anyone, I don't know about you, but anyone includes everyone and leaves out no one. Come on, somebody. It says, if anyone worships the beast or takes his mark. Come on, somebody. They will suffer the wrath of God. I didn't say that. The angel said that, and God sent him to say that. Come on, somebody. And he will also suffer. See, there's two things going on here. The wrath, but then there's also eternal torment in the lake of fire. Come on, somebody. So that's double trouble, Pastor. You get it on earth, and then you die, going to Hades and wait for the judgment, and then on judgment day, it's into the lake of fire. Do not pass, go, do not collect $200. That's where you'll be forever. Come on, somebody. Give the Lord a praise. So the warning and the consequences of not persevering in obedience. Is perseverance important then, church? Yes. Amen. Are you convinced? Yes. Amen. And so let's look at the Christian display of perseverance in verse 12. The Christian display of perseverance in verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Now the text says, here is the patience, or if you will, perseverance of, and here are the saints, as if to say on display. Here is their calling showing up in a situation just like this. The situation we're describing, where their backs are up against the wall, the chips are down, you're told to bow down and kiss the ring of the Antichrist. Come on, somebody. You're told to take his mark, and you're told to do this lest you die on the spot. Now, that presents a dilemma for somebody who's not really in Christ. Come on, somebody. Somebody that's just playing church. Come on, somebody. I'm trying to get you to understand why this preacher, this Christian, is so serious. Amen. Come on, man. You need to mellow down. You're too serious. You're always talking about Jesus, and you try to get all deep all the time. To listen, you better get deep too. Come on, somebody. Because the stuff I'm talking about ain't 25,000 years in the future. We're talking soon, and very soon. If you don't get your stuff together now, you may never get your stuff together. Come on, somebody. And so here's where the saints stand out. Here's where we're on display. And that's one of the reasons. I realize there's various interpretations about when the church leaves and all that kind of stuff. Listen, I'm not getting into all that. But the text does say here is the saints on display. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know no other saints on earth that there could possibly be except those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. So whoever they are, wherever they came from, they're saints. Amen. And they're on display. How? By their perseverance, by their willingness to stand in the face like them three Hebrew boys. Come on, somebody. Huh? See, we've seen this movie before, haven't we? Come on, somebody. You've been up in the book of Daniel. You done seen this movie before. Huh? The statue rolls out, the music plays, and you're supposed to bow down. Three Hebrew boys said, no, we ain't going to do that. Amen? And you can just go and throw us in the fire because we ain't going to do that. Come on, somebody. How many know that's perseverance? Amen? They persevered in the idea. Ha! They persevered in the biblical truth that there is no God but the true God. And I will not bow myself down to any other God but the true God. So, O King, do whatever you gonna do. You know the rest of the story. I'm not gonna preach Daniel, but I need to tell you, we've seen this movie before. And it's coming again. Come on, somebody. In fact, if you're paying attention, it's already beginning to happen. Some of you on your jobs can't even mention the name of Jesus. Amen. Come on, somebody. Our own Supreme Court has said what God has called an abomination is okie dokie. Right. You don't think that's going to lead to some trouble for us? Come on, somebody. It's the old frog in the water thing going on again, isn't it? Amen. The fire is being turned up on us slowly but surely. We don't even know we're burning. Come on, somebody. We in the pot. It's already getting cranked up on us. Amen. But we in here just happy in Jesus. Just having a good old time. And we in the pot. Come on, somebody. Perseverance on display is when you're facing the fire. Come on, somebody. And I hope in the prayers that you pray for the saints, every now and then, you'll remember that we ain't the only saints on the planet here in America. We have brothers and sisters. We already mentioned Pastor Abagini in Iran, but we've got literally thousands of our brothers and sisters in Christ in China, in various places throughout the Middle East, whose lives are on the line daily for Jesus Christ. Will you be able to stand with a stoic face looking straight ahead as those 15 men that were marched to the beach by ISIS, who were told, renounce Jesus or get your head chopped off. And they refused to renounce Jesus, and so they had their heads chopped off, recorded on video and put on the internet. Those are the kind of heroes that makes my chest pound. Come on, somebody. Those are the kind of Christians that impress me. Come on, somebody. Listen, I love you, but I need to keep it real with you. Some of this stuff we putting down, talking about, look at me, I'm a Christian. I'm saying I am bored. Come on, somebody. I am not impressed. Amen. And I'm challenged just like you are. I'm not standing up here saying somehow I have arrived, I'm ready, bring it. I'm saying like you, Lord, I don't even want to deal with that. But if it must needs be, I pray for strength. I pray for what's needed in that hour to what church? Persevere. If God has allowed all satanic opposition to this point in history to be testing for us, please understand that the arrival of the Antichrist is the final exam. Look at Revelation 13, verse 7. It was granted to him to make war with the saints. I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound good at all. We've already said the war is already going. So if he declares war, what does this mean? It means that whatever hedge of protection that God has had around us for all these centuries, that God is removing the hedge of protection. Come on, somebody. And the saints are going to be warred against. We don't want to make the mistake that has been made in history, like the Crusades. Come on, somebody. And take up the sword and fight back. That's not the way Jesus modeled it for us. Come on, somebody. When his hour came in the garden, he surrendered, didn't he? Have your way. Do whatever you want to do. Powers of darkness, this is your hour. Oh, by the way, this is the only hour you get. But this is your hour. Shoot your best shot. Come on, somebody. I will rise again. But right now, have your way. And so he was given power to overcome them, and authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. Here it is again, saints. If anyone has an ear, did you catch that? If anyone, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. That is, into prison. Come on, somebody. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience, perseverance, and the faith of the saints. Did y'all see that? We are to do like our Savior modeled for us. We are, in making our stand, not to fight back, not to resist, but to give ourselves to the powers of darkness in that hour and allow to take place what will take place, because we know, like Jesus knew, you're going to knock me down, but I'm going to get up. Come on, somebody. This life ain't the end. See, this is where our faith gets put to the test. This is where what we say we believe gets put to the test. Here's where the rubber hits the road. Do you really believe we're going to be raised from the dead? And if you really believe we'll be raised from the dead, death holds no fear for you. Come on, somebody. It's just a transition. So here it is again, in the face of captivity, of being cut off from economic participation. That's stated more in chapter 13. We don't have time to go there. Read it for yourself to see that if you don't take the mark, you can't buy or sell, which means you can't buy food for yourself. Now, here's where the trick comes in. You can't buy food. You can't go to the store and all that stuff because you don't have the mark. Many Christians right there, based on the way we live our lives right now, you would invent, as we do now, that, oh, well, God surely didn't mean for us to go hungry. Oh, he didn't? Oh, God surely didn't mean for us to go thirsty. Oh, he didn't? You can deceive yourself if you want to, and that's why that whole deception is there anyway, to see how much you really do love Jesus, to see how much you really down for him. See, we're in trouble when you can't give up the Super Bowl to come to church. Come on, somebody. This stuff we're putting down now, you can understand if we don't get it now. Can I say it again? We ain't going to get it then. You need to be practicing now what's coming. Come on, somebody. Because I need you to understand today that the call to perseverance does cost you something. You see, we're called to persevere in keeping God's commandments. And so we bow to no other God. Can I get a witness? The first of the Ten Commandments is, you shall have what? no other gods before me. You can't serve Antichrist and Christ at the same time. You got to pick and choose. Which is it going to be? Come on, somebody. And if we do not practice faithful obedience now, we won't do it then. Come on, somebody. If the word of God is preached to us now, if the word is taught to us now by our pastors and our leaders, and we hear it and we don't hear it because we got our own agenda and we got our own thing we do, or we got our own traditions or whatever, and the word of God gets kicked to the curb for the sake of what you want to do or what your tradition is, do you understand? If you practice that now, you'll practice it then. Either the word of God is a commandment or it's not. If it is, obey it. If it's not, then why are you shucking and jiving calling yourself a Christian? Come on, somebody. You do what you practice. Come on, somebody. So if you practice disobedience now, you will come up with all kinds of rationalizations and justifications to be disobedient in that day. Come on, somebody. Man got to eat. Man got to feed his family. We'll come up with all kind of stuff. But what did he say? You take the mark, you're going down, mister. You're going down. And all that preacher seat you sat in, deacon seat you sat in, trustee seat you sat in, pew seat you sat in, all that ushering, all that stuff, you all for nothing. Besides what you're doing, working your way into the kingdom anyway. Come on, somebody. We're saved by grace through faith. Amen. Supposedly, we believe the gospel, which is this, short and sweet, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. He was buried and on the third day rose again. Whoever puts their faith and their trust in that fact, in that truth, will have their sins forgiven. They will be washed away, and you begin your journey of faith in Christ at that moment. Amen. And so any other way that you enter into the church was the wrong way to get in anyway, if you didn't come through the gospel. Come on, somebody. It wasn't because mama was here. It wasn't because daddy was here. It was because you believed the gospel and you what? Repented and put your faith in the truth. Amen. And so today, if that's something you haven't done, we certainly want to challenge you to do that, because that's what us preachers are charged to do. Amen. To preach the good news. We got glad tidings to declare to the world. Your sins can be forgiven. I don't know about you, but that is a good news message to me, that my sins could be forgiven. But once I come into Christ, amen, I don't go in and out and in and out. Amen. I'm down with Christ, and whatever comes against me, I'm going to what? Stand. And having done what? Stand. To the what? Very end, I stand in Christ, because he saved my soul one day, and I'm faithful and loyal to him. Mama didn't save me. I love her, but she didn't save me. Daddy didn't save me. I love him, but this is about me and Jesus. Come on, somebody. And so we want to remind you of this also, that we persevere in faith in Jesus. The just shall live by faith. If we do not walk by faith now, we will not walk by faith then. You do what you practice. Come on, somebody. You do what you practice. And so if you turn it away from Jesus at the first bit of trouble, you go do your fallback. You got to go get your stuff. You know, what it may go up in your nose, or it may go down your throat. Amen. You got to go get your happy juice, whatever it is that you got to do when times get hard and things get rough. Amen. Instead of walking what? By faith. In the Strong Man of God, in the book the Lord led me to write, we said there are four distinctive qualities of a strong man of God that Jesus modeled. Jesus modeled. One is that he accepts the roles that God assigns him. How many know Jesus accepted his role? One of them to be the Lamb of God, to go to this cross to die for us. Amen. If he hadn't done that, we wouldn't be here today. Amen. Secondly, he obeys God to the death. That's real talk, isn't it? He obeys God to the death. Thirdly, he relies on God for everything. So there goes your argument about taking the mark, because we're going to be hungry if we don't. Well, wait a minute. Can't God provide? Come on, somebody. Now, you might have to eat some food you ain't used to. Pastor, when Elijah was at the brook, amen, ravens brought him food. I don't know if you know a lot about ravens, but they didn't go to McDonald's. But Elijah had food to eat. Come on, somebody. The fourth thing is that a strong man of God trusts God for vindication. Uh-oh, so much for us, because you know us. Come on, somebody. We will go off on you in a minute. Say, what? Amen? But instead of going that way, we're going to say, you know what? We're not going to take the mark. We're not going to bow down to you. O King, do what you will. Come on, somebody. Because I trust God that this unrighteous and wicked and evil thing that you're about to do to me, because I make my stand in Christ, God's going to make it right. God's going to make it right. Amen. Come on, somebody. Now, how do you get there? How do you get there? You get there with an authentic faith in Christ. Amen. A faith that's not just that you believe that he is. The demons believe that he is and they tremble. We're talking about clinging to him. We're talking about being confident in him. We're talking about trusting in him more than I trust in my own self. That's what we're talking about when we talk about that kind of faith. Finally, this, the reward of perseverance to the end. The reward of perseverance to the end. Verse 13, back in chapter 14. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. When I read that, that's so scary because it says, and their works follow them, Pastor. So if I'm throwing down some stanky works, come on, somebody. That doesn't make me very confident. Amen. Amen. So we're going to tell you what them works ought to look like here in just a second. The voice of divine authority from heaven commands John to write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Where are we at again? We're at the point of the great tribulation. The Antichrist says, take the mark or die, bow to me or die. And we say, O King, we will not bow to you. We have one Savior and one King. His name is Jesus. Come on, somebody. Amen. And what's going to happen next? We were already told in chapter 13, some are going to go to prison for that. And some are going to be killed on the spot for that. Why? Because there's a war going on. Come on, somebody. And this clearly implies when he says that from now on, the dead who die, that the persevering saints will be martyred, that means killed, as witnesses for the faith, for their obedience and their faith in Jesus Christ. But, somebody say but.
Yes.
Amen. They are blessed.
Yes.
Hallelujah. They are blessed. And why? As the Holy Spirit declares, they will rest from their labors and their works follow them into heaven. What are their works here? Their works are that they stood. Come on, somebody. They stood firm in their faith in Jesus Christ. They weren't willing to sell God out for a piece of bread. Come on, somebody. They weren't willing to bow to the Antichrist and worship him. Amen. To be able to go to the market and buy and sell. Amen. To participate in the economy. And yes, does that mean that some of my family members are going to be hurt by that if we're the provider in our home? Yes. We back in the word again. Now, see, this is where I know we get quiet now, because wait a minute. I'm with Jesus till he make me do something uncomfortable. Well, guess what? It's uncomfortable now and it's getting worse.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. Because when you come to Christ, you don't come with mama and them. You come to Christ by yourself. Come on, somebody. You got to stand by yourself. Though no one follow, yet I will go. Come on, somebody. And so we should be living in such a way as Jesus already challenged us in the word. Amen. That he ought to be the first love of our lives. Am I right about it? He says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. And again, he says in another place, Luke chapter 14, that if any man loves mama, daddy, brother, sister, wife more than me, not even his own life should he love more than me, he's not worthy of me. Did I make that up? I see y'all reciting it with me, so you know what I'm talking about, don't you? So do you understand that he meant what he said? He ain't playing. Why we act like he playing? Because we sell him out for a nickel and a piece of cheese right now. Come on, somebody. Pastor done preached the word with all of his heart, and then we go out the door like, yeah, that was nice. Ooh, he sound good. But wait a minute, he wasn't just trying to sound good. He was preaching the word. Come on, somebody. A word that demands in every instance, even right now, a decision. Whether you're going to obey it or whether you're going to reject it. And if you reject it, you need to understand it brings consequences to your life. Come on, somebody. So didn't we already say that this day that we're talking about is the final exam? All of us are failing the test that we get daily. Come on, somebody. There comes a point where God wants us to pass the test. Come on, somebody. And that's why he keeps giving us chance after chance after chance. Come on, somebody. Am I the only one getting grace up in here? He keeps giving us chance after chance after chance after chance. But at some point, he wants us to get it right. And so he put this in here. Revelation 14, nearly 2,000 years ago. Come on, somebody. Don't tell me God doesn't give us grace. Don't tell me he doesn't give us mercy. We've had this in here for 2,000 years. The final exam is coming soon. You've been warned about it. Didn't you hate that in school? Teacher said, final exam is Friday. Study. And here we are. It's been in the book nearly 2,000 years. Final exam is coming. Get ready. Get ready. Many generations of saints have come and gone. Many have suffered and died, getting their final exam in their time and their generation. I tell you, the days are immediately before us for our final exam. Will you pass the test? Will you go into your reward? Because he says their works do follow them. Works of obedience. Works of faithfulness. Amen? To Christ as a first priority, not to man. Come on, somebody. But to Christ. Amen? And so the Spirit declares that they will rest. How many know the rest we're looking for is not what we're going to do when we leave here in just a few minutes, go home and take a nap. Come on, somebody. Some of us are already napping, not teasing. Go ahead. But when we get the glory, we're going to be wide awake, resting, shouting and praising God. Amen? But here's not only will we have that kind of rest, but to close out, Revelation 20 says this, verse 4 through 6. This is the reward, especially for those who go through that period of persecution because you dared to make a stand for Jesus. Revelation 20, verse 4 through 6 says, and I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus. Ooh, did Scripture say that? And for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And this is the millennial reign of Christ, which is referred to, but we shall live on and on and on forever and ever with Christ. Come on, somebody. So I don't know about you today, but this is all good reason and more than enough for me to set my heart to persevere in Christ through his power to the end. Amen? Amen. And if that's just right, give the Lord a praise.
Amen. Copyright Open Door Communication Ministries Incorporated, all rights reserved. This audio product is intended for the sole and private use of its purchaser. No duplication, broadcast, transmittal by any means, or resale of this copyrighted audio product is permitted without the express written consent of Open Door Communication Ministries, Incorporated.